Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/CFRN. There's over 85,000 titles to choose from. Stick it on your iPod or your MP3 player and enjoy.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome back. Today's Thursday, 31st day of March, 2011. End of the first quarter, right? That's how it goes. Yep, end of the quarter. 4 quarters in a year, 3 months, January, February. That's right. So make sure. All right, here's the numbers. The Dow's down about 7.25 points. S&P is down 1.5. Comp is off by a little over 4. And so it's been a quiet session. I mean, I can make stuff up, but you're going to see my charts in a minute anyway, so I can't make too much stuff up. It just, it is what it is, and it's quiet, and it's the end of the quarter, and there's a lot going on in the world. And why aren't the markets more active? Well, that's a great question. Volume today, now this includes Globex, okay, on the S&P E-mini 500, the most liquid market in the world. How many times have you heard that? More times than either of us can count. And this is since 3:30 Chicago time yesterday. 3:30 p.m. Chicago time. That's when the Thursday session starts in the futures market. And just in case anyone didn't know that, now you do. We've traded 819,000 contracts. Not even a million. I've seen days when we would trade that before the open. Again, it is what it is. All right, so we'll take a look at the charts. We'll talk to Mr. Michael Bork, Bert. Now, Bert said he was going to dial in from the delivery room, okay? His wife is having baby number 4 today. I really don't think we've never had a live birth on CFRN. If he chooses to share that special moment with us, he certainly has the number to dial in, but I don't think that's going to happen. David Williams from PageTrader.com will be with us today. Mr. Mike Reed from TradeStalker may be with us today. And our friend Ben, who we've not heard from this week, from TradersAudio.com. You can see him also mornings on CNBC. He's live on the floor of the exchange. He just might drop in and visit with us today. But before I get into these charts that are in front of us right here, right now, I want to talk to you for a second about our sponsor, Audible.com. If you haven't taken your free trial, please do. AudibleTrial.com/CFRN. You will get a free audiobook. Okay? You're not obligated to do anything beyond that, although it's a pretty good service. And yesterday, as I was closing out the show, I told you that I was going to take advantage of my own offer, right? I always preach from my own life, teach from my own life, so I should do the Audible thing from my own life. When I went to get my free audio book, and the book that I got, the actual name of it is... I showed it to you on the screen yesterday, but just bring it up on my phone here. It's called Love Wins. And it's by Rob Bell. It's very controversial. If you think I'm going to tell you what the book says, I'm not. And no spoiler here. But I want to say this. It's an extremely controversial book. And there's good reason. If you come from a fire and brimstone background, your foundations might be rattled. If you come from a kinder, gentler form of religion, Christianity, then maybe not so much. But there is controversy here. Okay, which side am I on? Who am I going to side with? Is it going to be like the Shack, where it was a non-event? No, I don't think so. I think this is more important. The Shack, for me, was an entertaining book. Again, we talked about this yesterday. Some people just loved it, and other people said it was the most sacrilegious piece of garbage ever written. Now, this is the talk about the body of Christ being divided. The body of Christ was hugely divided over a book written by a man. Not by Jesus, not by one of the apostles. I can't even remember the man's name that wrote it. Boy, he sure stirred up some heat. Now, what this book, Love Wins, addresses is really the subject, and I'm just getting to the chapter on hell. Okay? And if you've heard any of the hubbub around the book, it's like, oh, he says there's no hell. Yeah, well, actually, he talks about what the Bible says. That's the interesting part. He's not spinning his opinion. He's spinning what the Bible says. Now, good question, John. John wants to know, will people go to hell? Well, John, you know what, John? I love God. I love people. I can't answer that question for you. I can't. I could preach for hours on the subject. I could talk. I could teach a class. Will you tell me, John? Does the Bible tell you that people will go to hell? Okay. Then I encourage you. You know what? If it crosses a line for you to read a controversial book, okay, then perhaps do some word studies. This is all very interesting, okay. And this is not a light subject. Like, in my opinion, the Shack. Now, some people go, well, that wasn't a light subject, dude. That was heavy stuff. Nah, okay. We're talking about. John poses a great question here. Hell, eternity, eternal life. Damnation, okay? These are terms we're all very familiar with. I don't know that it gets any more important than that. I don't know that it gets any more real than that. So, I'm not finished with the book yet, okay? I know that when I have some free time today, The whole audiobook, I think, is about 3.5 hours. I'm on chapter 3. Will I hear out the entire thing? Absolutely. Will I then spend time in prayer, contemplation, research, being thoughtful and mindful? And see, I was raised in fire and brimstone. Okay, that's where I cut my teeth. Now, yes, at 17, I went into the Navy, went insane. You've all heard that story. And I spent some 20-plus years out in the wilderness before I found my way back into the fold. So this goes... Oh, I said I wasn't going to tell you what the book says. And it hasn't really gone against anything. You know what? I'm going to tell you what. I'll give you this. I'll be this much of a spoiler. I'm into chapter 3, and all it's done is pose interesting questions. There you go. All right. I'm going to drop it. We're going to go to the charts. Take the free trial, okay? Audible.com. Nope. Yep. Stop. I mess it up every time. Audible trial. And if you go to audible.com, you won't get the free deal. It's audibletrial.com/CFRN. You'll get some kind of deal, but you won't get as good a deal. Okay. audibletrial.com/CFRN. If you don't have an iPod or an MP3 player, you can actually listen on your computer, on your desktop, on your laptop. Now, here's the interesting thing. I got yesterday, when I took my free trial, I didn't just get the free audiobook that was promised me. I also got, and I haven't had time to go in and really figure out what it's all about, but when I did the free trial, it says you're also going to get one. You're also going to get a free trial, or you're also going to get a subscription to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. But I don't think they ever asked me yet which one of the two I wanted, and I'm assuming that it's delivered in digital format. So once I figure that part of it out, see, the way I did it is I downloaded the app for the iPhone, and then I went on the computer, I did the free trial, got all that taken care of, and then I tried to put it on my iPad, and it didn't work. So, I mean, you'd think it'd be easier to get a book into an iPad than into an iPhone. Well, there's an app for the iPhone, so I just downloaded the app for free, logged into my Audible account, and there in my library was my book. I hit the button, it downloaded. I had to go grocery shopping and run some errands, and I was listening to my book as I went about my chores. So, but I did see a blurb in the sign-up process that says, hey, you're also going to get a free subscription to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. So I'll let you know how that goes. You know, it's probably just a trial. It's probably just to try to get you to buy something. I know. Another one of those marketing ploys. But if it's free, I'll take advantage of it. And, you know, I got stickies everywhere that say, hey, don't forget to cancel this before this date or else you're going to get charged. You know, I used to be afraid of taking free trials because I might get charged for something on my credit card. But you know what? When they say, hey, you're not going to get charged if you cancel by this date, if it's a reputable company, you can count on it and depend on it. You just got to remember to say, you know what? I tried it. I didn't like it. Or it's not worth what I might pay for it going forward. Now, yes, they're counting on the fact that you're going to like it enough that you'll continue. And hey, that's America. That's capitalism. That's how this country became the greatest nation on the face of the earth, right? Greed. No, I'm kidding. It's business. Okay, you get a free look. You don't like something, and I'm not just talking about this particular subject. I'm talking. You get offered lots of free trials. You know, cancel within 30 days and you pay nothing. Don't be afraid to take a look. Okay? Just make sure you have some kind of notification system, whether it's a post-it note. You know, writing it in the palm of your hand probably won't work. You'll probably wash it off before 30 days go by. Put it somewhere. You can use, you know, I have this great little program. I don't think I have it turned on right now. I have it turned off. Post-it notes for my computer. I can stick post-it notes on my screen. And I don't mean physical post-it notes. I mean digital post-it notes. I can have them in the background. And I have this on my Firefox browser there's a Firefox add-on called Remind Me. And I can just click that thing and say, on this date, at this time, remind me to do this. And, boy, it's incredible. And I'm organizationally challenged. I'm the first to admit that. And so I'm having to learn new habits to use the tools that modern technology makes available. But they're quite fascinating. And the first time you use one and you remind me to do something, 3 weeks from now, that alarm goes off. Something happens inside of you. You go, oh my goodness, it works. And then you realize that even though you're organizationally challenged, that in this world of modern technology, you can actually get your act together. You cannot, as they say, put it all in one sock. Yeah, you ever heard that? Okay. This is family radio, so I won't be any more graphic than that. But you can. You don't have to, but you can. And I'm trying. You know, I'm putting my best foot forward. Hey, Michael, are you with us? Michael Bort, where are you? My co-host is absent, so look out here in the main room and see if he's there. No? Okay. All right, well, I guess he'll come along in a moment. If not, then we'll just pop on over to Mr. David Williams. But let me go over this chart here with you real quick before we bring David on, and hopefully Michael will pop in. DJ, the memory helper on Firefox, you know what? I'll have to open the Firefox browser real quick to give you the right name. Now, there's a new version of Firefox out, version 4, which they say is really good. I started having some trouble with 3, so I switched to Chrome. The memory app is called, can you see it in the bottom right-hand corner of my screen there? The little fox, it's called Reminder Fox. View reminders, add reminders, quick alarm, options. So we can view reminders because I don't have any. But it just sits there on your toolbar and it doesn't bug you, it doesn't bother you, except when you've told it to bother you, and then it will. Okay, any other questions in here? Does anyone have any experience with Bert from Daniel's Trading? Great question, Todd. Yes, a lot of us do. I do personally. Michael does. David does. Many of the people in the room here do. And I've had a number of brokers over the years, both in the world of equities and in the world of futures, and I could not be happier than what I've experienced with Bert and Leslie from Daniel's Trading. They are co-sponsors of this show. They are with us throughout the trading day, each and every day. And even when I'm away from the studio, away from my trading desk, they are watching my account, looking over my shoulder. They don't just know me. They know my goals, my hopes, my dreams, my aspirations. And they work hand-in-hand with me to achieve those goals. So there's my plug for Bert and Leslie, 866-928-3310. Leslie is in the office today. Bert is in the delivery room. And yes, John, when I finish the book, I will discuss it. But I want to encourage people, because it's free, to, I don't want to try to force you into something, but have a listen. Okay? Because here's the thing. Maybe you, at the end of the book, you and I might end up, and I don't just mean you in particular, John, but anyone in the audience, we may end up on different sides of the fence. Okay? But at least we know what the other person's argument is, right? See, some people won't preach from my own life. As soon as a liberal, Democrat, or our president comes on the TV, if I won't shut it off, my wife leaves the room. She goes, I don't want to hear that drivel. I go, but honey, don't you want to know what they're up to? Don't you want to know what they're thinking? She goes, nope. I go, well, I don't think that's good. I think you should listen. If you see them as the opposition, if you see them as their adversary, as your adversary, you should kind of stay on top of what they're thinking and what they're doing and what they're plotting and what they're planning. She goes, nope, not interested. So, see, we have that division right there between us, but it's in love, you know. And she's entitled to approach that from her way of believing, and I approach it from mine, and we still sit down and have dinner together and smile at each other and say I love you before we roll over and go to sleep at night, okay? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So we'll discuss it, and who knows, maybe we'll even start a book club. All right, JJ, I got you handled there with the memory reminder. Yeah, Todd, again, I can't give you any better recommendations than what I give you for Bert. Oh, and, okay, Alan, I will do that. Alan says, give that guy my email address. And, so I will. I'll do that. Todd, and you can chat with Alan. Okay, at theresurgence.com. Now, the Resurgence guys, they're pretty hardcore, John. I like them. I stream their podcast all the time on CFRN. Every time they do a new one. I like those guys. I like them a lot. And I know that they are way on the other side of the aisle from Rob. So I will. But it's on MSNBC, which, eh. But I will. Thank you for sharing that, John. And I will listen to that. And I'm going to get off this subject now because I know some of you didn't tune in for any of that, but that's the way it goes here. All right, real quick, let's go to some charts and then get to David. I know he's waiting. No, I agree with you that it's a fair interview, and I will go, and just as I'm listening to the book with as much of an open mind as I can, because as I told you, I like the guys at the Resurgence. I grew up with Hellfire and Brimstone. I mean, that's just... And I don't say that in a bad way. That's just, that was, you know, how I was raised, the church, Pentecostal holiness. I mean, and I went so far in the other direction from that. there's no further place in the universe you could go than where I went from the way I was raised before I came back to some kind of middle ground and peace with God. So, yes, I will absolutely watch that interview. And in fact, when the show's over, I'll watch it. All right, that's it. I'm going to go to the charts now. Thank you guys for your input. I really do appreciate it. We just printed on the hourly chart dynamic resistance. I don't know if you guys saw that, but the red dot just popped up, 1326. Okay. Now, we've been waiting for, day and a half for dynamic support. We finally got it right here. And then we traded right down through it. Now we got resistance overhead, so the range is tightening up on us. This is the low of the week, weekly trading zone, 1300/1301, which we tagged on Tuesday. And then yesterday, we got within one tick of the zone and turned down. Now we've got a little bit of confirmation on the hourly here with that turn down. Are you there now, Michael? Well, that's Mike Reed. Hey, Mike Reed.
Hi, doing
good. How are you, buddy?
How you doing?
Good, man.
I don't want to interrupt you. Go on ahead.
No. Because I know your time is limited. And Michael Bork, I don't know what happened today. He was supposed to be in here with me. Something must have come up, or else he forgot to tell me he wasn't going to be here. So tell us what you think about this market, Mike. Is it done for a while?
That's I just saw this, and that's the exact same zone that we have, 1328, and was missed by one tick yesterday.
Okay.
I thought that was it, and I thought the way they acted around it, 1325 area today was kind of telling. But this is the end of the quarter, end of the month, and that's kind of going to hold this up, I think. The only way to break it down is that we have a double bottom on the NASDAQ, on the NQs, and almost a double bottom on the ES, around the 20.5 area. They'd have to get back under that. They're kind of trying a comfort area in here before
you're talking about
in the quarter. But no, if they get back up to 28 area, right, or just here, below that, and stall out, that's, yeah, 19 and a half is what I, that's probably 19 and a half there too. That's
pretty
our
close,
downside,
yeah,
key area. Looks like 19 and a half for you.
Yeah, right in there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the key spot on the bottom side, and then of course on the top up there, that 28 area. So this range here, basically, you have it drawn right on your charts. That's, you know, break under that should put pressure on. And if there were, you know, bids dried up at the top up there, buyers didn't want to get caught buying a top, and they kind of ran out of steam after that push. It was a pretty good run up, and then just kind of stalled out after that the rest of the day yesterday. So those are the two areas. This morning was mostly just the scalps because they were open lower, popped up, dropped down, popped up, dropped down, now popping back up again. So it was after two basic trend up days, except for into yesterday afternoon, it was time for the market to not have another trend day. Have some back and forth action here.
The
would think that the 22 area would be important on a pullback now.
Yeah, the range that we had defined this morning, which it was 20. Let's see, it was 20 and a half basically on the bottom, and 25 and a quarter on the top. And you can see on the screen that I have up now, which is our 10,000 contract chart, the dynamic resistance printed here. And this was just one of those picture-perfect kind of days, and it's one of those days when the dynamic support and resistance are just a great tool. I mean, there's going to be times when price will stall at dynamic support and then just trade right through it. But then, on a range type day to day, it just gets clearly defined. And once these print, they don't go away. And I mean, price was just ping ponging back and forth. And on this move here, we printed support. I mean, we had been right here, this Globex low and this early low this morning. We got a third one here that went a tick, two ticks below. And now we're getting a pretty good move up off of that. And here's where dynamic support failed, if you want to call it a failure. Support printed at 22 and a quarter. Price actually traded as low as 20 and a half. So that would have been a point and three quarter drawdown. And then you would have been able to participate in this move here to the upside. So we'll watch this to print some dynamic resistance and potentially take a short off of that, because it's going to work until it doesn't. And that's just, people go, well, how long is that going to hold? I don't know. If you'd asked me that question here, I'd have said I don't know. And here, and here, and here. And when we print resistance up here, I'll say the same thing again. I don't know. Is it going to hold? It might. All we can
do. Know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, how long is that trend line going to hold? I don't know. Until it doesn't. Here's a trend line here on the 30-minute chart that we drew from that high yesterday afternoon where we missed that zone, Mike, by one tick that you were just talking about. I just drew the simple trend line on the 30-minute chart across the overnight high, and then you can see we spiked it. Now, I drew the trend line before this happened. I'm just connecting this top to this top. Then we get a little wick on the 30-minute that sticks up through it, and it comes right back off of it. And now we're pushing up to test it again. Right there. So, if we get above this, then I guess, you know, maybe we could test this 28-29. But end of the quarter, Mike, do you have any special things you look at? I mean, I know you have some rules about gap days, and I know that one of the terms people toss around at end of quarter is window dressing, and I think that that has more to do with equities than futures, of course, but ultimately that's going to affect the futures. But any comments or thoughts or rules that you trade by at the end of a quarter?
Most cases, most months, the last 2 days and the first into the first day of the new month are the best periods for the market.
To be a buyer?
That's the odds. Yeah.
Okay.
More often than not, you look at a chart and look at the last 2 to 3 days of a month. And into the first day of the new month is generally the best time for the market, from a bullish point of view. And then after that, it loses it. After the second day of the month, it loses its that bias, and then tend to get reversal type action. So that's generally the case. And I know some folks will just trade the last few days in the month. But in any case, I felt coming into the week, we had come over the weekend. On Monday, we had a number of big sell signals. And on Monday, the market got hit pretty good. And then it went down to 1,300 down there. And then we got some buy signals. And we went to the top of the range. In between that, I had a lightning strike and put me out of commission for a day and some other stuff.
That, you know, that I saw your post. It blew out all of these things in your house and killed a goose?
Yeah.
Tell the listeners what happened. Tell them about that.
It was something else. I mean, you can see a big hole. It landed right across my pond, directly across my office window, and put a hole in the ground about three feet around and about 6 inches deep. And then we have an invisible fence for the dogs around the yard, and it's made of copper wire, so as it goes around the yard, it's kind of like popped holes up through the yard. And I think that's probably what killed the goose. But in any case, yeah, it took out, blew out the Fios box on the garage wall and the invisible fence box. They were black. They actually blew the receptacle out of the wall. And then took out my refrigerator, dishwasher, and my elevator to the basement. So.
Oh, my gosh. Now, homeowner's insurance, is that covered, or is that like an act of God?
No, it's covered under my homeowner's.
It is, okay.
Hopefully. It's under a catastrophe code, I guess, but. Waiting on the adjuster to tell me what's going on with it. So it's been kind of busy around here with that going on. But made it kind of hard to focus on the action the last couple of days, which were good for the bulls. But yeah, here we are against that line again and having trouble. I'm looking at your value, off to the right there.
Chris has a question. He said he hopes it's not the goose that laid the golden egg. It wasn't that goose, was it?
No.
It was odd.
It was they mate for life, I guess. And
oh, do they?
Unlike
humans.
Its partner went off into the field next to the lot next to me, and was over there for about half an hour, and then it had the courage to walk up to see what was going on, and stood by it. For a long time, and then a couple other geese swam from one side of my pond over there to see what was going on, and then next thing I know, two more pair dropped in. It was almost like a funeral procession or something. It was actually kind of sad, you know.
Yeah.
But then the next morning I woke up, the one goose was still laying there where it had been. And I went away for about, looking out my office window, I came back about 15 minutes later and it was gone. So I don't know what got it. Might have been a coyote or a neighbor's dog or something, I don't know. Anyways.
Life in the Country with Mike Reed. You started to mention something about the right side of my chart.
Yeah, your value areas over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like this is the comfort area for the market. I mean, it's not. You got to get down there so far, bottom of that, and we get shorts coming in to cover. We get up to the top, the bids dry up. Buyers are backing up and off. It's really kind of slow and not, you know, no velocity of these moves. It's kind of, don't want to get caught at the top, so buy low and dump them at the highs.
Yeah.
Until this breaks.
Yeah, so
there hasn't been, except for on Monday, late in the day, there was no panic to the downside. They're all well-contained bounces or pullbacks. And especially on the grind-up days, the dips in the last 2 days before today were only about 2 points at most before it finally, you know, ran out of gas, except for the early action. Once the move got in gear, you just have a tiny pullback, and that's changed today. So, yeah. You should extend your line on over there, too, your trend line.
Which one? Back on that 30-minute chart?
Yeah, or on, yeah, the big one there. Comes in right in that area.
Well, I know that David Williams always likes to say hello to you when you get a chance to come on. So if you can hang on 1 second, I'm going to go ahead
sure.
and connect to the studios and beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, and we'll chat with him for a minute.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
How are you? I'm good, thank you.
I'm doing well. Just trying to make a living. Trying to find the Mona Lisa trade.
Did you find it?
I found a few, you know, from time to time, you know. That's what makes it fun. They're not all Mona Lisa, but when you find one, they're really nice. So we've had a quiet morning here in the S&Ps. But Michael, how are you, and what's happening with you first? Anything new and exciting?
well.
Okay.
long story short, yes, very exciting week, and a lot of stuff going on. Including goose funerals and lightning strikes. So,
well, those are these new trade setups for you, or are these actual events that I'm doing the lightning strike? This is one of my favorite setups right here. No,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it goes something like this: kaboom, and then you hear silence. The only running are my PCs. But
where did the lightning strike?
About 100 feet from where I'm sitting. Well, more than that, but 50 yards from where I'm at, across my pond, directly across from that. Took out a nice chunk of the yard.
Yeah, that's a little frightening. I remember I put myself in a great deal of danger without realizing it one night because have you ever seen web lightning or ball lightning? I don't know if anybody has, but I'm sure you've seen the web lightning where you look up at the clouds and the lightning's actually going laterally across the sky. It's doing it from cloud to cloud. We had a storm where a lot of that was happening, and I've only once in my life seen ball lightning where it hits the ground and you actually see what looks like a ball of light rolling, and it's very, very odd. It lasts for, you know, the thing I saw lasted maybe for 3 seconds, but one night I had gotten out of my car while it was lightning. And there were strikes. There was lightning all around me, and I was surprised it was even out of my car. I don't know why I got out of my car. I was much younger, but people do get hit by lightning.
You guys will have to excuse me a second.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Anyway, so I don't know. That's my little lightning story. I was never struck by lightning, but I was awfully near it, and I did some stupid things. You have to be very careful with it, of course, because it's a whole lot of electricity. And, you know, there's strange things. There's some people who've actually been struck by lightning more than once in their life, and you really have to scratch your head about that. The odds of being struck once in your life are extremely small. The odds of being struck twice in your life are infinitesimal. I mean, just off the scale. So why would that be, Dwayne? Why would people get struck twice by lightning?
Why would they? Well, you know, there's a number of people who have. They've become like lightning rods.
Okay,
and
there
I
you
don't,
are.
I don't
They're
know,
lightning rod people.
I don't know
Night
why
of the
that
living
is.
Lightning rod people. I saw that movie.
I just don't want to stand on the same side of the street with them during a storm.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Speaking of that movie, I'm making my own movie. You remember Night of the Living Dead. That's, of course, one of the greatest all-time B-movies. You've seen that or no?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, okay. I was going to come up with one called Night of the Living Realtor. And the subtitle was The Night They All Fell Out of Escrow. Little humor there. I'm not that crazy about realtors. So I just pictured a bunch of them just in torn clothes and stuff just lurching towards you with like a multiple listing book in their hand. They're all coming after you. Anyway.
Well, you know, they had their 15 minutes in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
A good realtor, they had like, I don't know, a 5-year window to make enough money. There was enough of a feast to get them through the famine if they, you know, put something away. I know
enough of a feast for them to realize how nice it really was for the next 5 years when they didn't have it. Kind of unfortunate, but that's what happened, you know.
But the good ones are still making money. I mean, the deals aren't as big, so the commissions aren't as large. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're in a market now where, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Interest rates are historically low. The prices of the houses are low. People who could have never dreamed of being able to own a home 5 years ago now can buy, like, you know, a home and a vacation home. And keep an apartment in the city.
Yeah.
So those realtors who are able to see the opportunity in that and take advantage and address that segment of society. I mean, I have a friend who's a realtor, and he's actually, you know, coming off of the boom. He has a franchise real estate business. He almost went under. But now he's adapted to the new market that has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see him, he has a smile on his face again. So.
Well, that's nice. It's kind of, in a way, it's similar in some ways to being a chop trader in the market, you know, where you're trading swings back and forth or whatever, and then actually the market breaks into a trend and you have to learn something new, or you have to just adjust to whatever, all the different factors in the market don't act the same and they start to change and you have to adjust for that. And we've seen that dramatically in the S&P. We did have a little window of volatility a month back or something where it was really good. And then now we're back to very quiet intraday behavior. And, you know, we're leaning towards some of these other markets that you and I have talked about on the program that you and Michael do. And that has, you know, triggered me to look at those markets. And delightfully, similar to your realtor friend, I found that we can work with those markets. And so I'm excited about that, and nothing excites you more than, you know, well, there's two things that excite me. Number one is being pretty sure that we've got it right and that we can call the market. And number two would be actually trading it and making money. And I've said yesterday, and I've always will say, that there's a huge difference between being able to call the market or forecast the market, which is its own skill. It really is a skill set. And then also is also its own skill, is to be able to trade that market and make some money from it. And one of the reasons I am leaning towards and like some of these other markets is because there's so much more room for profit in those moves. They're bigger swings. You're making more money in a shorter period of time than you are in the short-term trades, trying to day trade, as an example, the S&P, or try to take whatever your strategy is. For us, it's 2 to 3 trades a day. For you guys, it might be 7 to 17 trades a day. I don't know. But I'm finding that it's easier to make money if you're willing to hold, at least in present conditions. It's been easier to make money in these other markets that we don't normally trade in. If you hold overnight, if you're willing to do that, it's easier to make a larger amount of money in a shorter period of time, relatively speaking. You have to stay in the market maybe for 2 days and through an overnight, but in that 2 days and that overnight, you'll probably be way ahead of somebody trying to day trade the S&P under these conditions that we currently have, where it's really, really quiet, ranges are really small. So I'm happy we looked at those markets, and I'm happy that they're usable, that we can put them together. And this weekend I'm going to continue to look and see if I can line up some more so that we have more of those markets ultimately. We won't have them immediately next week, but have a list of markets so that every day practically there's going to be some good setup that we can trade and make some money on.
Mike, so, Reed has to run. Mike, thanks. He may already have gone. He typed in. He had an insurance adjuster just show up to assess. So, Mike, if you're already gone, one Mike
right,
goes
well,
out the door and another Michael comes in the door. There's Michael Bork. He's now with us. Michael Bork.
Hey,
welcome.
Michael, how are you?
Hello. All right, David. How are you? Sorry. My grand late entrance.
He's excused. I think a lightning strike is a decent excuse to not be on the radio program.
Yes.
And I may use that sometime if I need to get out and do something as well.
Yeah, that's,
anyway.
That's kind of a whiny excuse, isn't it?
It is. It seems like, it seems so, it's pathetic, really, isn't it? Hey, with some lightning struck near my house, I can't stay online with you now. People are coming out. Started a small fire, and it blew the lid off of our shed out there, so...
As a kid, that was when I was a kid, that was a big thing. If there was a storm, you were not allowed to talk on the telephone because you might get struck by lightning.
Well, Dwayne, would you like me to go over a couple of these markets and we can talk about them a little bit?
I would like that.
Oh, okay. Well, there's not a lot going on in the S&P. A little while back, we attempted an hourly roadmap where we forecast that the market would fail at 1325 or slightly higher, and it would go down an initial 5 points. That was the initial move, and then bounce, and then go down a total of 10. Now, with this low volatility, 10 points, with this low volatility today, we warned people that it might only be able to do the 5 points, and that would be it. So we did go from 1325.75 down to 1320.50, which is almost exactly 5,
mm-hmm.
I think, by one tick off. And now they're bouncing off that. So later today, if we do break down a little more, and this type of slow behavior is the halting kind of slow behavior. It's a little more difficult to believe in the move when it's in the future like this, forecasting it. But that would be the normal position for the market. So, you don't have to make much out of that. We got the half of the move, the initial move, and we'll see if there's more to add to that. Additionally, we are very close in the S&P, same market. This is not reflected wave now, but we're very close in the S&P. Today is the on-time day for a top in the S&P, and my preference would be, although we've already hit some important levels, yesterday they hit R27/28, which was in yesterday's panel, and they're still reacting off of that. We're coming close to a critical juncture on the upside. If I had my preference, I would have liked to have seen 32 or 33 get tested in this advance, but there's plenty of good reason for them to stop even here if they want to. So time-wise, we're not talking about price levels now, but just purely on time, we're starting to get close to a critical juncture on the upside. So what they do between now and tomorrow will be very important. We would be looking for a sizable reversal or an initial 19-point decline off of that top. So if the market does start to break down further, our first target on the downside would be that 19-point target on the downside. So, you know, that would bring us down roughly with the current high that we have. Let's just say we don't make a new high. That would bring us down to 09 or so. But this is a pretty important point in the work, and this could also double that. We could be looking at 38, a reversal of 38 points here. So keep that in mind. Now, that doesn't preclude us, because today we're only in the on-time day, that does not preclude us from going higher here yet. So we want to be careful. The market's done nothing really wrong yet and is very quiet and complacent at these levels. So let's use some caution with that. But that would be a forecast that would be sent to BERT at this point for people to get as well, because of the type of setup. This is more along the lines of spatial relationships. So that's the big stuff on the S&P. I don't know if you have any questions on that, but if I made myself clear, we can move on to another one.
Well, you know, we talked at length yesterday about the weekly trading zones and
yes.
the ability of the market to stay inside of those zones. And so yesterday
uh-huh.
was a great example. We got within one tick of our highest weekly zone,
mm-hmm.
which is 28.29,
mm-hmm.
and the market has turned down. So, I mean, I realize mm-hmm. we still have the rest of today and then all of tomorrow that the market could trade higher and get outside
mm-hmm.
of the zones. But so far it looks pretty good. That and this week, the total ranges were relatively small this week with
mm-hmm.
91 on the downside and 29 on the upside. So that's about 40 points, roughly.
Now, if we break through your weekly trading zone, then I'm going to send you a copy of my latest version of your opening song. It's called Almost Everybody's Happy. And it'll be me playing the guitar, because you're not going to be that happy at that point. But he's saying everybody's happy. But if that thing breaks through there, then it'll be Almost Everybody's Happy.
Right.
Something like that. Will you
David
play that?
Williams,
if
I you, and
very
I,
nice, yeah.
you and I, David Williams, we're going to go into the studio at some point. It may be virtual. We may have to do it online. But I'm going to invite you to record our new opening song.
Ah, now you're talking. Okay. You're going to have a much happier audience when we work together, Dwayne. I'm telling you. Okay. Let me go on from here. We're just making playful fun
yes.
of the song that I've heard for 5 years, that everybody's happy. And I look around the world and I'm not seeing that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But with Dwayne's weekly support and resistance levels, if it goes through, then maybe he'll play the Almost Everybody's Happy song. Okay. Let me move on here. Okay. We had a couple things very interesting that are happening in the other markets, and I spoke about these yesterday, one of which is in the soybean market, because we almost forgot to go over this. I mentioned yesterday that soybeans were at an extremely important volatility cycle. And if you wouldn't mind, put up the soybeans on a daily chart. Who,
can you take the charts, Michael?
Okay, you can give them over.
Okay, here they come.
Hold on. Let me move my Russell out of the way here.
While he's doing that, we had forecast that on the program here and in our product, that March 29th would mark a very important bottom in soybeans, that they would 28 cents have a pullback and then advance a continued move up to a 56 cent move up off of the March 29th bottom. And if you put up the soybean chart, you can see that they had an explosive move up today. And this confirms the volatility cycle that we talked about yesterday on your program, that the market was indeed
mm-hmm.
ready to have an explosive move on the upside. This is, they went past the 56 cent, target. But 56 cents is a decent trade. You know, that's a $2,800. Not that you would get all of it, but that's $2,800 in swing. And this shows the value of knowing where the volatility is.
Now
volatility, please.
Yeah, I'm just bursting at the seams here.
Okay.
Because we talk about this a lot, and this played out perfectly. Bert said yesterday, hey, be careful, there's a crop report coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said, okay, the market should move higher. that the cycles do, the volatility's there. And Bert
right.
says, yeah, but you got to look at the crop report. And so we've talked about this before, you know, which came first, the news or the move? And
it all works together.
That, yeah,
it doesn't,
that,
one doesn't precede the other. They're all one force.
Right. And so this is an instance where whatever, and I haven't read the crop report, but obviously the crop report said something that caused
it's
prices
just a bunch
to
of crop.
Go.
Little humor there. Go ahead.
And obviously there was something in the crop report that sent prices substantially higher to coincide
yeah.
with the move that you saw coming, which had nothing at all to do with
right.
whatever
was in that
report.
Not only did it have nothing to do with it, but we forecast this move on Sunday. So this is in our soybean report. This is a great example of that. It's not two forces. It looks like magic. It isn't magic. What it really means is that inside the market's own movement, as you see the market go up and down, it has a language, so to speak, and you can learn to read that language in a certain way. And that language is telling you when important things are going to occur. To us, that important thing is the volatility cycle. But that volatility cycle doesn't live by itself. It's connected to other events in the world related to this market. It just all works together. That's just how it works. So instead of me calling it a volatility cycle, we could have simply said, we're predicting a news cycle. You know, here's when the next big news is going to come out, and here's where we think the market's going to go. That would make it sound less magical, because then we're tracking what we would call a news cycle. But because we don't say it's a news cycle, we say it's volatility, it makes it sound more distant from each other. They're really all one force expressed in numerous ways, but it's the same source. In other words, the news, world events, the crop report, and the market are all intimately connected already, and we were reading correctly the news cycle that the market puts out. And so that's a good example of it, because we've talked about this a number of times on the show for the people that are new about the fact that this happens repeatedly, that you can make a call, you can make a forecast for a big move, having no knowledge of what the news is going to be, and then the news comes out and confirms the forecast, and then you get to this point, well, what came first? Usually those questions, what came first, the chicken or the egg, they're wrong questions. They actually aren't the right question. There's something else that needs to be solved so that you see something differently, because you can just keep asking, you know, what comes first here, mm-hmm. the news or mm-hmm. the market? And the answer is, that's a wrong question. The real thing is that it's all one holistic bunch of events that work together. And so when I mentioned on the show yesterday that the soybeans were at a very, very critical spot here for a big move, it's just like saying we track, it's like if I had a company that tracked news cycles, and we're saying, well, some really big news is about to come out, and somebody go, well, yeah, that's a crop report, it's about to come out. So I don't know what the crop report is or says or what it means to the market, but the market itself plays that out. The news and the market work together, and it's expressed in the market. I've said this before, too, and I think it's a good way of thinking about it. The market is kind of like an antenna, and the antenna picks up all this information from the world, and it brings it into a format where it makes a chart. So here's this antenna, and then you've got this graph, and that graph is showing you it's not just the market. The antenna is picking up everything. It's picking up signals from outer space. It's picking up buying and selling from people. It's picking up news. It's picking up the entire thing. It's a Hoover vacuum cleaner. It's a 912 model vacuum cleaner. Hoover is a vacuum cleaner company.
912, though?
Yeah, the 912 model has always been my favorite. No, it's a vacuum cleaner for everything related to that market. It just draws it all in. It's an antenna. All that stuff gets put into a graph, and you can say, well, what did the antenna pick up today? Well, doctor, here's a chart of what the antenna has been picking up. And so because it is, in fact, picking up these things, there's all kinds of messages in the graph about news and about cycles and about everything else. So that's kind of a better way of thinking about it than trying to say which came first, the news or the markets, because in a somewhat mysterious way, they all work together. And it's not that mysterious to me now, because I used to ask the same question, which comes
mm-hmm.
first?
Right.
And it actually is a wrong question. Neither comes first. The answer is that it's all one thing. And that's a lot of our viewpoint is very holistic with this market. So we were looking for a 56-cent advance. They did that. That would have brought us up. I gave the price yesterday, $14.94 or $13.94. They went substantially beyond that. But either way, the market had a great move, and that was a nice trade. Another good example of the fact that soybeans is a very tradable market. We certainly didn't have a move that big in the S&P today, and we're all waiting around for, you know, the little pennies we can get out. Here's a market that realistically a person could have made $1,200 a contract, realistically, on this. So, by, you know, by being in it and all that. And listen, by the way, even though Bert was the party pooper yesterday with saying, you know, watch out for the report, honestly, that's really not that. I'm just saying that. The fact is that in all cases, you have to be careful and use risk management. And sometimes you have to be stopped out, and then the run happens, and you either have to be back in or you just miss the trade. And that's a skill set all unto itself. But the thing I like about these other markets is that they make bigger moves, and those bigger moves make more money in a short period of time than you would make probably day trading in that same period of time for many people. And a lot of people, I understand, may not have the margin to trade in these bigger things. But you know what? Go get the margin. Go do what you need to do to get the margin to trade in these. And I think you'll find that there's it's a more satisfying chunk that you're taking out of the market, A, and B, there's plenty of those trades as well. You're just not going to be trading, you know, every day. I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from trading, you know, short term or intraday, but these, in addition to that, can be very, very helpful. The reason I'm not trying to dissuade you is because if I did, then Michael Bork would chase me through the streets of Las Vegas, trying to be, you know, being mad at me or something for that, because he's scary. He is a scary man. He laughs nicely on the radio, but I know he's scary. Okay, thank you, Dwayne. For the laughter. People are just laughing in the background. All right. Now, Michael Bork's not scary. He's a very nice guy. That's why I said he was scary, because he's such a nice guy. All right, let's move on to... you just got to work with me this morning. Let's move on to a couple others. We had a couple other setups yesterday as well. Somebody had talked to you or talked to us on the radio yesterday about the gold market, and I had mentioned that we had, well, actually, later yesterday, we sent Bert, even after we were on the show with you, we sent Bert a forecast for gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because we initially had a call that March 24th would be a top, and it would be a $3,200 per contract decline initially, with the possibility of these further declines. They did the 32 points on the downside, and then yesterday somebody said, could that decline still be underway? And I said, yes, it could be. Then later, because of his conversation, we looked at the gold market again, and I realized that there was a very, very high likelihood that yesterday's cycle was a bottom, and that meant the gold was going to be going up another $3,200 off of yesterday's bottom. So we sent this out to Bert, and he sent it out. So those of you who get this, this means that the market would be going up to 1444, if I'm not mistaken. Now, today's high is 1440 right now. So,
do you know how Bert framed it up? Was he the one that did the framing on that? Did he do that framing job?
Bert, I don't do that. Bert does that. I don't know if he even... I don't know.
He
I don't
did.
Know.
I'm going to tell you exactly how he. I'm going to tell you exactly how he framed it. I shared it with everybody in the live trading room this morning because they're all signed up for it anyway.
Okay,
but
good. I'm glad they are.
Just fine, right here. Okay, Bert Schlichter. All right. He said hourly closes above 1427 can be the earliest confirmation for new long entries. An initial advance to 1445 is expected, with potential advances to 1461 and then 1477. However,
I know that's the hell up there.
Hourly closes and especially daily closes below 1414 or worst case 1412 will trigger new short entries. In this case, the initial downside target is 1399 followed by 1383. And then he goes on to say that he's going to be out of the office, maybe number four. He says, so for active clients, I won't be here, but here's what you want to watch. Watch for the hourly close above 1427 to get long, or below 1412 to get short.
To get short.
And so if you waited for the hourly close above 1427, then you're up, I don't know, some $12 on that trade at this point?
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. And one of the reasons we gave the lower side of the trade is because of the fellow that asked the question that we do indeed have a potential for lower prices, and that could have been a type of an inversion cycle, you know, yesterday and all that. But after I looked at it, after we got off the program, it really looked like the likelihood was that it was going to be a bottom. So we put out both sides of the trade, you know, both on the long side and the short side. So anyway, this still has higher prices to go. For those of you who might be in it, if you're uncomfortable holding for higher prices, there's probably a decent gain in there now. You can book some, and then let's, you know, trend follow this thing up.
What about if you're not in yet?
If you're not in
and
yet,
you wish you were.
I don't know that I would necessarily be okay. able to suggest to somebody at this point to buy it, although I will say that if you were aggressive, that would be fine, but I would prefer you being in the trade on a. If we had a reflected wave pullback in this market where we put in a bottom on an appreciable time frame pulling back, I would want to suggest for people to go long. We don't have that just yet, so we'll see. But gold is another, you know, this is a very volatile market, and so one of the things we're going to do is we just look around for the markets that are moving, and we're going to try to put those trades together for those markets.
Can you put gold up, Michael, on a 10 tick range? Is that possible?
I can.
Okay.
We're going to be in the K right now, the M right now, right? On the gold?
Yes. June gold.
June gold. And a 10 tick you want it.
Please. Because I want to see if I can see a pullback entry into this thing.
To go long? Yeah. Pullback 1438 right in this range.
Okay. And we're trading at 3930, so yeah, I just kind of want to see how that laid out.
Yeah. Maybe we could play the song Everybody's Happy if some people got in this. Maybe that would be appropriate. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just playing with it.
So,
okay,
in other words, along with what we were just looking at on a daily, you're talking about from a daily perspective, even going down to a small 10 tick range. You can see that this is an extended move. On the screen Michael has up right now, you can kind of see a little double top there.
Sure.
So I just would really hesitate to jump in along here, but that pullback down into the area Michael just highlighted, you know, that then you can limit your risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can limit your risk and perhaps participate
drop your risk right here.
In the remainder of the move. So anyway, all right, Dave, back to you.
Okay, so we had gold. We talked about that yesterday, and very bullish market. I do want to mention something. A good friend of mine called up. This is the guitar player who you played that. You know, we played that piece in your thing, and I want to tell you what he said. He said, "I've been on the internet, and a lot of people are saying that silver is going to go, you know, through the roof if the whole dollar collapse thing. I don't even know. I don't even have the dollar up, but I want to." Present something that people do with markets that I think is silly, to be honest with you. And here's what it is. Gold's, you know, silver is going to go through the roof because the dollar is going lower and lower and the whole thing's going to collapse and that's going to make silver go through the roof. And then I want to have a doorbell sound right after that. Ding dong. Silver was trading at like $3.80, you know, several years back. It's gone through the roof. And it got to the place that it is now at 37 or whatever the dollars is that it's at. I don't have it up right now. It got there on a whole bunch of different news, one of which was probably this whole fear over the dollar and our economy and everything else, because the metals tend to rally when that's happening. But he's looking, the people on the internet are saying, oh, it's going to go up to $250 because of the dollar news and all this other stuff. Well, listen, that stuff is already in the market. The cab drivers know about the dollar issue. Everybody knows. And it's priced into the market. All the fears, all the anticipation, all the possibilities of $250 silver are already in the market now. So if the event happens, it actually turns the market down. It doesn't make it go higher. Remember, buy the rumor, sell the fact. For those of you who are new, that's the top 10 commandments when Moses comes down from the mountain and God has given them the top 10 trading rules of all time, and number one is buy the rumor and sell the fact. And so everybody on the internet, this goes back to that same thing about conspiracies and everything else, they're all chatting up how high silver is going to go, but the news silver's already reflected all of the stuff that they're talking about by virtue of the fact that it's everywhere. Everybody already knows. So if silver's, I'm not saying silver can't go higher. I'm saying that if it goes higher, it's going to have to be on different news than the news that brought it to this point, because it's already all in the market, including all the guys thinking it's going to 250 and all that other stuff. Some other thing is going to happen because you've already got the goodness out of that rumor, that by the rumor being the dollar is going to collapse, America is going to go away, you know, or whatever, and $37 silver is here. Some of that is still in play, and the dollar could still have some incremental effect, but it's not going to push it to $250. Some new news is going to have to come in. So if you're getting reports in your e-box or whatever, you know, telling you to go buy silver because the dollar is going to collapse, I've got news for you. That's in the market. That's old news. It's already been priced into silver. Something completely different is going to have to happen if you believe in news, and I do, if the market is going to go skyrocket from this point forward. It's already 10 times higher than it was at $3.80 back in 2001, or whatever the exact price was. So keep that in mind, because this is something, and I had this discussion with him saying, I'm sorry, but all that's in the market already. You know, you can't use that existing story to tell me that it's going to go up to 250 now, or 200, or even 100, or even 50, based on that news. Something really new and different is going to have to happen. Now, a lot of times trends will continue only because of uncertainty, and when the uncertainty is resolved, the trend is over. And that's why buy the rumor and sell the fact works so well. The uncertainty is the dollar is going to collapse, the you know, economy is going to go away. So part of that is still operating in the silver market. There's no doubt about it. But something bigger and broader than that is going to have to news-wise come in, because the majority of all that tension has been expressed in the silver market at this point. So keep that in mind, and well, do consider the idea that I'm telling you, that buy the rumor, sell the fact is a very, very profound principle. My goodness, it just goes, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, in 1990, everyone was worried we're going to go to war with Kuwait. This is just one of 100 examples. The market's going down, the market's going down, the market's going down. We now have a date when the war is going to start. Everyone's talking, boy, I tell you what, when that war starts, they're going to go straight through the bottom. This thing is going to be back down to one, Dow one, you know. And guess what? On the very day that the Kuwait war started, that was the bottom. Since then, the market has gone up 14,000 Dow points, or whatever it is, since that time. That was the bottom. That's one of a zillion examples. Martha Stewart, she's going to jail, she's going to jail, she's going to jail, she's going to go to jail. She goes to jail on this date. The stock was going down, going down, going down, going down. The day she went to jail, whoosh, stock goes through the roof. Martha Stewart's getting out of jail. Here's the date's known. Martha Stewart's getting out. The market's going up, it's going up, it's going up, it's going up. Boy, when Martha Stewart's go out, this stock is going to go through the roof. When that event happens, you know, in this case, when the dollar collapses or when Martha gets out, it's going to go through the roof. The day Martha gets out, the market goes down and takes back, you know, 100% of the whole gains it took leading up to that in like 2 days. Go check Martha Stewart Living. Go back and check the dates. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. So if by chance the event that everybody's talking about on the internet happens, which is the collapse of the dollar entirely, I'd want to short the silver market, not go long it. I'd want to reverse, because if it's in fact that's the thing that's driving the market here, when it becomes a fact, facts change everything, and the market reverses upon the fact. So keep that in mind. I had that discussion with Greg last night, because he wanted to buy silver, which I have no problem with, but don't buy it because the news that everybody already knows about that's in the market is going to make it go up another $100 or something. That's not the way it works.
Can you see this chart I have up, David?
I can. American Eagle silver coin sales.
Yeah, here's this is in millions of ounces. Okay, a little bump up here in 87, but then we come down to a low going into 98.99, and then look at that move there, just from 08 to now. 40 million ounces of silver coins. Now, those are actual coins that people can hold in their hand, put in their safe deposit box, put under their mattress. That's physical silver. But there's a whole other animal out there, the ETFs, the futures, and we won't go into that whole conspiracy thing because we've talked about that before, but it's just that, I mean, this shows you that, I mean, if you're, there's got to be, I don't know. Now this is happening in this little article that goes along with this. It's just silver dealers have indicated that smaller investors see silver as a more affordable alternative to gold as they look to alternative assets for wealth preservation, etc. Now, to go out and buy a gold bar versus buying a silver coin, no big difference in price. And so people that want to hold physical metals, I mean it's here. This isn't a projection. Yeah. This is what actually really happened. So,
right.
You know, does it just keep going to the sky from here? You know, I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just want to say, consider what I'm saying. You'll become a much better trader if you're looking to news to do it the way that I'm telling you.
Well, I agree. I agree with you, yeah, on this point. I do
buy
agree.
It when the tension's in the market. And everyone, when that happens, everyone always believes that when the fact occurs, that everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket, when in fact the fact will reverse the market. What makes the market rally or decline is uncertainty. What makes it stop is certainty when the fact occurs. So that's, you know, it's just a remarkably thing. It's at the top of the palette. The guy comes down from the, you know, the mountain. There's the burning bush. He's got a tablet in his hand. The top rule of all time, doesn't matter who it is and what anybody comes up with, buy the rumor and sell the fact. All time greatest trading rule in the universe, all possible universes, places that aren't even known as a universe, invisible worlds that haven't been discovered yet. That's the best possible trading rule of all time and all places, because it can be used in all times and all places. And we've talked about this before. Go find a market that has a date associated with it or some great uncertainty about something that's going to happen in the future, and simply buy in the direction or sell in the direction that market's going until that event happens, or until it's absolutely certain that that event is not going to happen, because, and then reverse your position. There's a good trade going into the event, but I'm telling you, there's even a better trade at the end of the event when it happens. There's even a faster money-making trade there. Mm-hmm. You can just follow that. You'll never need another thing in your trading life from anybody. That trumps everything. That one rule. That's as far as I'm concerned, because you can make a fabulous living doing that. The problem is that when the event, the tension is there, which the tension is what causes the advance or the decline, the uncertainty is what causes the event, or the uncertainty is what causes the rally or the decline. When the event finally comes to fruition, or excuse me, when when the tension is building, people start to believe in that, and the event becomes a bigger and scarier thing every time. And every time, like clockwork, when the event happens, the fact, the very fact that it is a fact, changes everything. The tension gets relieved. The rally is over in this particular case, and the market just tanks. So you have two great trades to do with that. So consider seriously what I've just said, because I don't know of any better, you know, that's, to me, that's the actual pinnacle. For all times, places, all universe, all known worlds, all unknown worlds. Best trading rule ever. So there you go. So let's move on a little bit here, Dwayne, and I'll cover just a couple other things here, and then I'll get out of your hair and let you have your day as well. Okay. So let's take a look. We had one other setup for yesterday. We had the soybeans. We had gold. And then the T-bond market. This is the 30-year treasury bond. I think I mentioned this yesterday, or I don't know if I did, but we originally had forecast March 28th, plus or minus one day, to be a bottom, and for the market to reverse and produce an initial advance of 1.5 points off the then current low. Yesterday was the one day late, and because it was one day late, I think I mentioned on the program, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I did, that it was at a critical juncture on the downside for this 1.5 point move, which is, you know, probably a, you know, roughly you know, $1,100 or $1,200 move. And today, the June T-bond market moved up to the low was 11.19.19, and that meant it would go up to 11.20. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, my numbering's wrong. 1.19. Am I reading this wrong, Dwayne? I'm sorry.
Michael's going to have to help you because I'm not a T-bond guy.
No, it's 119.20. 119.19 was the low. Okay, so 119.19. If you add $1.05 to that, that brings you up to 120.24. Today's market reached a swing high of 120.31. So we got our initial target off, and then the market reversed and dove down very quickly, and we have the potential for further advance. But I am being careful and I am cautious with T-bonds. In fact, we did make some money on that market, but the fact is that I'm new to that market and it has some peculiarities that I'm getting through. And I'm thinking I'm getting there, but you just want to use a little extra caution in using the trades that we give in the T-bonds. I don't give it out unless I believe in it. I don't like to give frivolous things out, but for the people on the radio program, I'm not quite as certain. I'm pretty sure I've got it right, but I'm not quite as certain in this market as I am the others. The euro is another one, but we don't have a setup for that just yet. And crude is very close to a very important, its volatility cycle. We have a very important crude volatility cycle. There's a lot of them in crude right now. And that would be, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not going to give the whole forecast out now because we don't have the full confirmation, but March 31st and April 1st, which is tomorrow, would be the next important date for this market. I'm going to hold off. Don't do anything in this market yet if you're following it. Let's wait for a full forecast, and we'll see what we can do. But this market is completing a forecast we didn't send out based off of March 29th. I don't know if I mentioned on your program for that this was a volatility cycle for crude as well. That's why they're up. But right after it is a second one. The way they laid out, there's a second one right at this point, and that would ordinarily indicate a reversal. But I want to give the market time, and I want to see if you want to watch this with us. I want to see how the crude market handles the 106.75 level roughly and see if they close above or below that. So a daily close today above 106.75 would be the stronger position for crude. Below it, and an opening tomorrow below 106.75 would be the earliest indication that I would want to use in this market for a really, really nice reversal with big numbers. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, let's save that. Today is Thursday. Yeah, we save that for tomorrow. So there you go. If you want these trades, you can sign up with Bert at Daniels Trading. We're giving the trades out for free. What we do is we come up with the forecast. We send it over to him, and then he puts it in an email and may add a little bit here or there to it, frames the trade up, so to speak, sends it out to a list of people, and it's free right now. What Bert wants out of this is down the line he's going to ask you to open an account, and if you are trading these forecasts and if you're doing well with them or making some money, which I certainly hope you are, then in a way to keep it all in the family, give that business over to Bert. Let him be the broker that either trades it for you or trade it at his place, you know, because you're getting the trades from him over there. So that helps him. We're sending it out for free, and later at some point we're going to charge a very reasonable price, but only when we get to the point where we have 10 or 12 markets that we can do this with. And so that you could almost virtually have a trade perhaps every day, or two or three markets every day that you could trade. And then we can all quit our jobs and towel ourselves off with towels made out of $100 bills. I don't know if that's something you've ever thought about, but it absorbs water very nicely. You're just patting yourself down. I'm just joking about that. That sounds awful. A
couple of listeners have the same question. And it has to do.
Why do you have this? Here's the question. Why do you have this idiot on your program? No, I'm just joking. You have the same question. What are you doing with this guy? All right, go ahead.
They are asking for you to describe a volatility cycle, and apparently the explanation I've given them of a dog climbing out of a swimming pool and shaking himself off is not good enough for them. So could you please explain?
Yeah. In the three-dimensionality of the markets, and the three dimensions are time, space, and volume, volatility belongs, the category of volatility. Well, let's see. Let me, instead of me just always being the teacher and explaining it, let's have a discussion. Where would volatility fall under those three dimensions? Because every possible aspect of the market, everything it does, every expression down to the nth degree, belongs in one of those three categories, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where would volatility, put on your thinking caps, and you can type it in. I'm not asking Dwayne to answer it, because I don't think he's smart enough to, honestly, but I know the listeners are.
Well, it's a multiple choice. It's one out of three.
That's right. You have a one out of three. Give me a shot. Let's have somebody answer the question.
So far, only one person has typed in an answer.
And okay, let's stack a few up. Just a couple
of
no, Bob. Let's say
ouch is not one of the choices. No.
Ouch is not one of the choices. Okay. It belongs
Rob
to
says, Rob
one of
says,
the three.
Let me just go ahead and give it to Rob since nobody else has typed in. Rob stepped up. Oh, we got conflict. Okay. Rob says volume. Doug says price.
Okay.
Ray says volume.
Okay. So we got two volumes and one price.
Let's see.
Okay.
Oh, here's another price from Wayne.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see what else rolls in. If anybody's, we got a lot of people in here today. So Rob says space. Hey, Rob, I don't think you can have two answers. Maybe you can. You can change your mind. Okay. Price, volume. Keith,
okay.
Greg. Eric says space. Tom says time.
Okay. Well, we've covered all of it, so somebody's got to be right in there. The way that I'm using it, and listen, when I give you the answer, it's only my best answer where I am right now in my understanding of the principle. So it's possible that my answer will ultimately turn out to be wrong. But let me say it all again, that every possible expression of the market belongs in one of those three categories. Those are the three main dimensions, and everything else, just like in real life, when you're in a room, you have the three dimensions of the room, and everything that happens in that room belongs in one of those three dimensions. So very much the same way that the attributes, the various little expressions that are coming out of the market, all can be categorized under one of the three dimensions. And in this case, the way that I'm currently using it is I put it under the volume, that volatility is directly often related to either the lack of or lots of volume. Volume is the area that volatility comes from. So it's the third dimension of the market that we talk about.
Okay.
It's possible, for those of you who answered the question otherwise, that I may later, you know, or anybody who's studying the market may later come up with a better reason why it falls under a different one, but it has worked the way that I'm expressing it.
And that's the one thing I've never seen you put on a chart.
Is what? Volume?
Volume.
Yeah.
Like the charts you publish on the Page Trader site, they come out in the nightly report, and there's never a reflection of volume there.
Right. So the volatility cycle, in a way, could be called a volume cycle. In a sense, it's not that we're tracking volume specifically to say that it's a volume cycle, but it's one of the distinctive expressions of the volume dimension of the market. And so we track that differently than we track the time cycle, obviously, or the price cycle, and any of these other things. And so a volatility cycle can be extremely valuable because it gives you an indication that a very powerful directional move is about to occur, which is what every trader wants to be in, is a fast directional move, very much like what we had on soybeans and recently some on the crude. Some of those are volatility cycles, and we have a volatility cycle lining up on crude right now. So everything falls, this is something I haven't said before about the subject matters, that every possible indication in the market falls under one of three dimensions. And the reason you want to know what dimension that, or figure out which dimension those belong to, is because that allows you to use the main principle of spatial relationship forecasting to then forecast those smaller expressions that fall under that dimension. And one of those, one of the biggest under volume, is volatility. Okay, volatility indeed makes price move fast and big, but the way that I'm using it, I have it under volume, and it has worked under that classification. You know, we're calling the cycles off of that right now. So I hope that's at least interesting, something to think about when you're thinking about the this you know this kind of work with the markets. Mm-hmm. Very much unlike, I do want to say this as well, this takes some time to put together. This is not anywhere near as easy, or when I say easy, it just takes more time to put together a spatial relationship forecast. You know, not, it might take you 5 minutes to put it together, but you have to know how to do it and then lay it out and check your work from all three dimensions. That's why it takes time, because you have to do a double check on everything and to make sure you have it right. And so that's a lot easier, or that's a lot more work than, and it's all manual, so you have to do it on your computer screen. So it takes a little more time. Reflected wave, on the other hand, is instantaneous, and it's very, very, it's all calculated sort of in advance for you. So anyway, that's basically, those are the markets that we forecast, and I'm still working with, by the way, sugar. We should have something coming up on sugar here shortly as well. There's a date coming up for sugar. We don't really have this market down either, but we're watching it, and that's April 4th, plus or minus a day. So tomorrow is the one day early for that. We want to watch sugar in that time frame as well. One thing, the reason we're looking at sugar is because it has good movement. It's had some great moves, and it's at fairly high prices. The higher something goes up, the more volatile it is. And the reason it's more volatile is because markets are logarithmic by nature. That means they're percentage-based. So that means that I've said this before, a $10 stock to have a 10% move is a one-point move. A $100 stock to have a 10% move is $10. Well, to move $10 requires more volatility to get the market to go 10 points, but it will do it. But that's what the volatility is it looks, you know, there's more volatility there, bigger swings, same percentage, but bigger swings. And so the higher, if you take a look at Google, which is up at $400, $500, $600, it's going to have much bigger swings and much more tradable swings, so to speak, than a low price stock. So, you know, you can trade anything you want. I kind of prefer the bigger swinging markets. They're a little scarier, but they do, you know, they do get the job done very quickly, and they make, you know, they make big moves. So that's something to consider.
There is a special request for you from one of the listeners.
They want me to sing my latest version of... No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm ready for it.
I want to know if you can start looking at the British pound.
The British pound?
This is supposed to be the British national anthem. Wait a minute. Is that really the British national anthem? It is. Wow. We just uncovered something here.
Okay.
That's the music to the American... What is it called?
Anthem?
It's the same underlying music. God bless America. Sweet land of liberty. Yeah, so we ripped off their national anthem. Super. All right.
There you are.
Go right ahead.
The British pound. I will take a look at that. I don't have that up now. It's going to take some time, but I will take a look at that. And remember, don't get too hooked on one market. There's plenty of opportunities in other markets in between the time that we have it. But I would be very happy to have that in the group of stock or group of markets that we're going to trade. I'm trying to make it diversified as enough so that it can attract any, you know, interest in you know, for whatever your thing is. But don't get too hooked on one market, because I'm finding more and more that some of these other markets are easier to make money in, and like I said, some of these overnight positions, if you have the margin, it's not a bad idea to take the trade, and to, you know, you get bigger gains and you're out of it, and you seems like you add money up faster that way than perhaps only intraday trading. I think the combination of both might be very good. So Duane, I think that's basically all we have for today. I think if there's anything else I can think of, no, that's about it. That is
Fair
about
enough.
It.
That's a lot.
I'm sorry?
That's a lot.
That was pretty good. We covered some decent ground.
Yep.
Does
anyone else have any final questions?
No. Oh, I I don't have any final questions. My final question, you know what my final question is going to be. What is one-hour martinizing? That's my deathbed question. That's how I want to leave this world. I want to. I'm going to move my mouth a little bit. And be, oh, he's saying something.
Interestingly enough, someone already said today that if he knows the model number of that vacuum cleaner, I'm sure he knows what one-hour martinizing is. Somebody actually typed that in earlier today.
I think there's a lot of people that know what one-hour martinizing is, but they don't have any idea of why it's called that. I think it's dry cleaning. That's what I'm thinking it is. But it's never been explained to me. I mean, no one ever walked up to me and said...
Yeah,
no one's ever walked up to me and said, one-hour martinizing is dry cleaning. I've never had that conversation with somebody, and I just had to ascertain that over many, many years. And I think the funny thing for me is that it's always been in the back of my mind. And then, you know, you don't see those signs anymore, at least in Las Vegas, California, Arizona. I don't see one-hour martinizing signs anymore. So that kind of went away somewhere along the line. But there still is dry cleaning. You can still go get your clothes dry cleaned. I just don't know what the difference between one-hour martinizing and dry cleaning is.
Well, and the big question is not the martinizing part, but why they call it 1 hour when, in fact, it takes you 2 days to get your clothes back.
Well, there you are. I don't know. Maybe the one-hour one doesn't take 2 days. How's that, Mr. Wayne?
We gave you a Google search one day as a fellow named Martin, Mr. Martin.
Oh, it is? We did do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Volatility kicks in when it takes 1 hour or whatever. Let's see. David had mentioned yesterday that today may be a top in the beans. Is this still in effect? David?
Give me 1 minute here. Yeah, right here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Give me 1 minute here. We did have something we said about beans yesterday, and I want to be, because of the volatility, yes, today, under normal conditions, today would be a top. Today is the on-time day for a top in beans. I think one thing you might want to caveat that with, if you want to trade this, and we don't have a trade based off of this. This was just a general indication that we talked about yesterday. But I would like to see the market, the $14.25 level, be closed below today as an initial indication that this is tradable on the downside. That would be a nice start, you know. So if we do that, then, you know, then I'd be looking to trade maybe, you know, to try to pick up maybe a 14 cent or something decline. I don't, you know, this is, I'm just talking off the top of my head here, off of the beans, which we could trade at that point. But yes, this run up today is a classic setup for a daily top. And by the way, that was one of the other pieces that helped us believe that the market was going up, because Reflected Wave had said that today would be a top in beans. So that helped me believe that in spite of the report, the market would likely continue up into the on-time day. So that was another little piece. And again, it's like having the tool belt and all these different things come together, the volatility cycle, the Reflected Wave, the overall forecast for 56 cent advance, all these things. That's why I'm saying it takes a little time to put these together, because you're trying to verify it from as many angles as you can so that you have a what we always talk about, which is a high probability setup, a high probability trade. High probability trumps, in my opinion, every other thing. If the probabilities are there, I don't mind taking a bigger risk on the trade. I don't mind necessarily getting in at higher prices, all that stuff, if the probabilities are there. To be honest with you, I didn't get in this trade. I missed the trade. I just wasn't able to get in it, and, you know, I have the broken furniture to prove it. There's the chair over there. No, I just let it roll off my back, and I go on to the next trade. I did get some of the other trades, but I wasn't in the soybean trade myself. And this was a really nice move. This was a beautiful deal.
The up move.
But sometimes
will you be in the down
business,
move?
I'm sorry?
Will you be in the down move if you
can get in? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I love trading soybeans. I've been in several other good moves in soybeans, but I didn't get any of this, to be honest with you. We called the bottom for the date, and I intended on getting in, and on that day it had already closed, and I thought to myself, well, tomorrow I'll do that. And then we had a webinar. I don't know. Things just, you know, I just wasn't able to think straight enough to remember it. In fact, yesterday somebody had to remind us on the program to look at soybeans. because I hadn't even brought it up. So that's your, that's what I'm saying. I just missed it. We put the forecast out, and I somehow it fell back into you know, oblivion to me. So it's unfortunate. I would have liked to have taken that trade, but I'm not sour, and I don't make this, you know, this isn't going to change my behavior, and my chairs are actually still, you can still sit in them, they don't break, and I just move on to the next setup. I just stay pleasant about the whole thing.
One final question from Greg, and Greg wants to know, could David quickly summarize the outlook for gold and oil once more? And the answer, Greg, is no. Not quickly, but perhaps he might summarize
it. Oh, that's cruel. Give me one second. Let me get something.
Okay, while he's looking...
Okay, let's take a look. I'm not sure there is a lot to say, but my biggest thing... actually, the crude is in an important position. So if you're questioning about crude, I'm interested... and this is how these trades get set up. You're looking and you're going, okay, this is good. This, I like this. This is a, this is close to an important time period or an important something. So crude, unless I've got it wrong, we originally had a cycle that we didn't talk about, a 29th bottom, and they've done that and they rallied up. Or maybe we did give that to Bert. I don't remember. But that leads us into March 31st, which is today and tomorrow, which would normally be a top in crude. And there is a very important volatility cycle that's associated with this date for the year 2011, and we're sitting right on it right now. So, like I said earlier, for crude, if we do close today below $106.75, that will be the earliest indication, and then tomorrow if we open below $106.75, that will be a further indication. If they open above that, we'll talk about it. But I'm not quite ready yet to put the full forecast out. I might want to wait a little bit further here. We may have to put the forecast out after the top is already in, perhaps. But this would be a sizable reversal, tradable on the short side. So, I prefer to wait until we have the full forecast, because I don't like to give out half information, or, you know, by the time I give it out, I sleep well, because I know I've checked it all out from all different angles, and so I'm not quite there yet, but that's the initial indication for a top on March 31st plus one day, and then we would short that, and there would be sizable gains on the downside. This would be a potentially very, usually the down moves are faster than the up moves for most cases anyway, so I'm particularly interested when we get a volatility cycle as a top rather than a bottom, because it means that the move potentially is going to be even faster and sharper than bottoms would be. So I like that. You know, that helps you get paid faster, and it helps you have the psychology to stay with the position, something that I've struggled with for a long time, holding on to winning positions. Hell, these days I'm struggling even getting into the positions, you know, on the nice move that we had in soybeans. So the fact is that this is a nice setup, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll see where we are, and if by tomorrow we have all the numbers, even if they gap down, I would be very happy to be a seller upon rallies at certain levels to be in the continued move down. Okay. And what was the other one that he asked about? Was it gold or something else? Did you say crude and gold, Dwayne? Well, Dwayne's not even there.
I'm right.
Okay. Gold, we're still in the gold forecast. We had forecast yesterday after the program to Bert and to the listeners who get it, that gold was going to go up to an initial target of 14.45, and this was gold's volatility cycle right here. That's why the market's up sharply today. We've reached 14.41. This from the bottom, from 14.13, is a 30 plus point move. It's 3,000 per contract. Realistically, you're not going to get anywhere near that out of this, but for sure, there's $1,000 or $1,200 in a move like this, and I was in this move. So this is one of the ones that I was in. You know, I was tracking this when the fellow who asked the question yesterday on the program asked a really good question, which is, well, there's the potential for further decline, and you're calling today a turning point. And I said, yeah, that's correct. We could go. This could be the top for a further decline. But later, when I tracked back and did whatever work, it seemed like today was almost certainly going to be a bottom. So much so, or yesterday was going to be a bottom. So we put the forecast out for that, and then I caveated it with saying, well, let's, to make absolutely sure, let's wait for an hourly close or a breakout above 27. And they gave it to us. So we're in good shape here, and Bert will be back on Monday. So any new forecasts we have, by the way, won't be sent out. That's one of the downsides, is that I don't have anywhere to really send the stuff right now. So I'll mention it on the radio as best I can, but we won't be able to send it anywhere until he gets back on Monday.
Okay. So, well, we only got one more show between now and then. So.
Yeah, we only got one more show, so that's it. So listen, thank you very much for the questions. I love it when people are interested, and I'm hoping people are making some money from this, and there really is hope. You know, there's hope out there. You can make some money from the markets. You can make a really good living from it if you can be patient and wait for setups to happen and use risk management, all those things that we talk about. It can be very good in the end, and it doesn't mean you have to just quit your job and go home and day trade. You can use this as a adjunct to your normal stuff that you do. You could have Bert as an example. You know, I'm not trying to jam him on you, but you could have him trade these for you. He'll miss some trades too, because he's going to frame it up in his own way. If you want, you can be more aggressive than Bert wants to be. And, you know, there's a lot of things you could do to put all these types of things to work for you on a day-to-day basis. And so, anyway, Duane, listen, pleasure to be on the show. And I'm very happy that we're just about through this week, because there's been a lot that's, you know, we've been running. And so we're just about at the end of the week here. And I'm looking forward to next week as well. I think the whole year of 2011 is going to have a boatload of volatility in a lot of these markets. And so we want to set up 10 or 12 of those markets and just, you know, just really do some real good trading this year. Because if we miss one, there's another one coming along, and they're all going to be set up much in the same way. So I'm excited about 2011 and where we can go with trading this stuff. And I'll spill that excitement on you tomorrow when I get on the show.
All right, David. That sounds good. Thank you so much, and have a great afternoon.
Okay, you guys too. Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye.
Today. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, here we go. 1 hour and 47 minutes of the finest radio we could drum up. All right, pretty good, right? That's going to do it for today. Watch this right here. I'm going to point this out on the screen. This is a 10,000 contract chart. We've got a zone overhead, highest weekly zone. We missed it by one tick yesterday. Okay, we've got this zone right here below us. Beginning on the overnight session, dynamic resistance, dynamic support, dynamic resistance, dynamic support. These print in real time, okay, and once it prints, it doesn't go away. Dynamic resistance, dynamic support, dynamic resistance, okay. Will this go on forever? No. Will it eventually break out and go in some different direction? Yes. Now, if you were following this along this morning, you're like, okay, alrighty then. I believe I'll take that one. I'm going to short this. Now, here, what happened if you got long here and the market went down to here? Well, maybe you got stopped out. Okay. Maybe you got stopped out. If you were trading without a stop, then you didn't get stopped out, and you feel like a superhero, and that's not good. In fact, that's very dangerous. Okay. So, you should have, off of this move, you should have taken profit here, which is good. And then if you immediately just got long, and this only drew down 1.75 points, so maybe even with a stop, you didn't get stopped out. Okay. But this is my point. If you just take this, and go like this, you need to be able to connect 1 point, 2 points, and then this. See? Now, let's say you got short up here because you were very smart and very clever, and you identified that this was in a range, and you knew that you didn't need the cross or the pullback. You were just going to trade the range, support and resistance. You're going to sell it. You're going to buy it. You're going to sell it. You're going to buy it. You're going to sell it. I didn't do any of that. I'm just saying. Maybe you're that clever, okay? You're going to sell it. You going to buy it? Well, when are you going to buy it? When's a good time to buy it? See, with that trend line right there, you're buying here, not here. Follow? Now take this trend line here and just do something like this. And don't worry about drawing it perfect. Okay? If you sold it here, then it did come back to test your entry area, but you never got taken out on that trade. See, all the other ones are pretty relatively foolproof. If you come here, you go across here, you do that, okay, maybe you don't get in till here. Well, you got more risk than if you had gotten in here, but you maybe have a little more confidence. I'm just showing you some different ways of using the tools that are available to you as a CFRN partner. And speaking of the partners, tonight is the community workshop training session, 9 p.m. Eastern. Go to the members-only area of the website. Go to the forum. Go to where it says news. In fact, let me just make sure everybody knows how to navigate it and get there. All right. Hey, guys. In the member section, CFRN Partners, to scroll down to here where it says news, okay, click that, and there is your link right there to get you into the training session tonight, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. You need the link. I'm not going to send out an email today. Going forward, you'll always pick up the link for the live trading room, for the workshops, for everything. You'll pick it up in the forum under the news category, okay? Current events, all right? Okay, that's going to do it for today. Watch this, potentially a good short coming off of this. I'm going to leave the 10K chart running so you can see how it unfolds in real time. Backdrop is on the one-hour chart. Not so often that we see these so close together intraday, but we've got resistance, support. 1320 and a quarter for support. 1326 for resistance, okay, on the hourly. But I'm going to leave you with the 10K chart. Okay. We said watch for the dynamic resistance. We found it. We spiked it just a little bit. Trying to close lower. Now, this is an important piece of the puzzle here. The cycle is ready to roll over. What happened when the cycle rolled over here? We got this move. When the cycle went up, we got this move. When the cycle rolled over, we got that move. You get it, okay? Now, will it continue to do this forever? No. Eventually, it'll just break out, and the whole thing will have to reset. This is what a trading range looks like. It will keep doing that until we break out of the range. And so a break of the range would be trading above the high at 1326, we'll call it. It's really not that. It's 1325.75. So, you know, closes above 26 or below 20 and a half. Then you would say, okay, I'm out of the range. But be careful because it can pop out, look around, and then pop right back in. So get some kind of confirmation via trend line, something that you actually are now trading outside of that range. Because I know this sounds very simplistic, but I'm going to say it anyway. Until there's some confirmation that you're now trading outside of this, then you're still trading inside of this. So your trades are inside of this until they aren't. Yeah, I know. Crazy talk. But that's the truth about trading. Okay? All right. That's going to do it one last time. Let me plug our sponsor, Audible, and encourage you to go take advantage of your free audiobook download. You get an entire book, put it in your iPod, your iPhone, your computer. Don't try to put it in your iPad because it won't go in there. They just, I guess, haven't written that app yet. But to take advantage, go to Audible Trial. Okay? audibletrial.com/CFRN. audibletrial.com/CFRN. And you don't have to download the book that I downloaded, the controversial book, Love Wins. Go get something that's of interest to you. If that's of interest to you, then of course. But if it's not, I mean, 85,000 titles, science fiction, business, New York Times bestseller list. Man, it's all there. And it's kind of neat. It really is. Plus, you get the free subscription to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times when you take the free trial. I'll go back and look at that again so that I can tell you exactly what it is. But if you go take the free trial, you'll find out for yourself. audibletrial.com/CFRN. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life change and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.